Please turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua and the chapter 20 for our scripture reading. Joshua chapter 20 and the verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbour unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we come to look at this passage, please. O God, our Father, we confess our need as we stand here before this people. Lord, of ourselves we can do nothing. Without thee, Lord, we are as sounding brass and just empty noise, Lord. And we ask, dear Father, that I be pleased even to touch these lips from the live coals from off the altar. Father, give me something to say from on high. Fill me, Lord, of unction from on high. O Lord, we ask that thou would speak. If there be any in this meeting tonight, far from Christ, far from a refuge for their soul, O Lord, we ask that thou would speak to them. Lord, touch their hearts even now. Lord, we ask that thou would be pleased to give us listening ears, Lord, to put away the distractions, the thoughts of today and the thoughts of tomorrow. Give us these few moments, Lord, in thy presence. Pour out a stillness upon us, Lord. Lord, presence thyself amongst us and give us help, Lord, in the preaching of thy word, we ask. In Christ's worthy name, amen. We've heard a lot of talk in recent days about the refugee crisis. As you've watched your televisions or read the newspapers, you're bombarded with images of people fleeing their homelands. Far off in eastern countries and even closer to home, there have been millions and millions of refugees who have fled their homelands. And according to the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, the number of refugees has reached its highest point since World War II. There were over 1 million who entered Europe alone in 2015. And I'm sure that number has maybe doubled this past year. Now, while we may not always be sympathetic to those refugees, especially those who are coming to these shores looking for financial handouts or to promote their evil Islamic religion, our hearts do go out to those who are genuinely fleeing from oppression and fleeing from their lives. The word refuge comes from a French word, which means gone in search of refuge. You see, the word refuge carries with it the idea of hope. A refuge is a place or a person in which we flee in time of danger or trouble, and We go there in hope of safety and security. And that's exactly what every believer has done. We have fled from the wrath and justice of God in hope of safety and security to Jesus Christ, the only refuge for our souls. And that is how faith is described in Hebrews chapter 6 and the verse 18 to 20. We read there that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for enter us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What a refuge we have tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Deuteronomy 33 in the verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. With this in mind, we come to this passage in the book of Joshua. We are reminded of the refuge that is available to you if you're still outside of Christ tonight. No sooner was the law of God given at Mount Sinai when the Lord promised, I will point thee a place where the guilty shall flee. Then the Lord God instructed the children of Israel by his servant Moses to set aside six cities of refuge in the land of Canaan. And when he divided the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, Joshua set aside these six cities of refuge, three each on the each side of the Jordan River, just as the Lord had commanded his prophet Moses. And tonight I just want to talk to you about these six cities of refuge. But my subject really is Christ, our refuge. For these cities of refuge typify and portray our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, giving us a picture of God's mercy, love, and grace in providing his own dear Son as a refuge for guilty sinners. And firstly, we see here in this passage that there was a refuge for the manslayer. These cities of refuge were places of safety for the guilty, for the men who were to be put to death if found outside of the city. According to the law of God, any man who killed another man must die. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth was the requirement of justice. And when a man's life was taken by another man, even when it was taken accidentally, without malice or purpose, we would call manslaughter. The man who killed another man was, in the Old Testament, under the sentence of death. The dead man's next of kin had a legal right. He had even had an obligation to avenge his brother's blood. But for those who were guilty of such a crime, God mercifully provided these cities of refuge to which this manslayer might flee for safety from the avenger of blood. There were six cities of refuge. A person might be anywhere in the land of Israel, on either side of the Jordan River, and easily flee to one of these cities within half a day's journey. The Jewish historians tell us that the way to these cities of refuge was always kept clear, regularly repaired so that the roads could be easily travelled, and the cities were always easily accessible. At least once a year, the magistrates sent out people to clear the debris from the roads, making sure they were easily passable. There was to be no obstacles in the way for those that would flee for refuge. All large rocks were removed, all fallen trees were removed. The greatest care was taken that all obstacles were removed. Any high places were levelled. The historians tell us that there was huge markers placed with the word refuge written in bold letters. So when a fugitive came to a crossroads, he did not have to hesitate for a moment. Seeing that blessed word refuge, he kept on his relentless pace with determination until he reached that place of safety. And once he entered the gates of the city, he was secure. Anyone guilty of manslaughter, he had a right to flee to one of these cities, and he was guaranteed safety for as long as he stayed within the city walls. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is a refuge for sinners. All who come to him are saved from the wrath of God. The way to Christ is plainly revealed tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by his righteousness and his blood, has removed every obstacle that might keep the sinner who seeks him from finding him. He even sends his Holy Spirit to reveal the way, to lead us in the way and bring us safely to our soul's refuge. But not only was these cities a refuge for the manslayer, but Secondly, we see a refuge for mankind. You see, the fact is, tonight you and I need a refuge. A refuge is something we need when we're in trouble or sense that we're in danger. I'm sure we've all taken refuge in time of storm. But there's only refuge, one refuge for that we can shelter from the storm of God's holy wrath. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that great friend to whom sinners may turn and alone find refuge for their souls. Christ is our strong castle. He's our mighty fortress. He's our high tower. He is the ark of safety to shield us from the impending wrath of God. Just as Noah fled into the ark and there found refuge from the waters of the flood, so we must flee to Christ in order to find refuge from the flood of God's wrath. We read in the Psalm, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 62 in the verse 8, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. We all need a refuge in Christ because we're all by nature guilty under the sentence of God's holy law. The wrath of God is upon us tonight. Every son of Adam by nature stands guilty of sin. He's condemned by the law. He's in immediate danger of hell. You see, we're all guilty before a holy God. These words written in Romans chapter 3 and chapter 5 describe our state. Those well-known verses in Romans chapter 3 and verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:18. Therefore as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You see, because of our guilt and sin, we are all justly condemned by God's holy law. As babies, we're not born in innocence, but in sin. We do not come into this world on probation, but under condemnation. Listen to the word of God in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The verdict has been reached, and is guilty. If you're yet without Christ tonight, you're right now under the wrath of God, in immediate danger of hell. You know, that word wrath is not spoken of very much today. Judgment's not spoken of, sin's not spoken of, hell's not spoken of in many so-called evangelical churches. But the Bible tells us that God's wrath is upon the sinner. You see, God is offended with you. You've broken his law. You dishonor his name. You reject his authority. You despise his son, his gospel, and his grace. The psalmist tells us that God Almighty, the avenger of blood, is angry with the wicked every day. You might not know it, but if justice overtakes you tonight outside of Christ, without refuge for your soul, you will be forever damned. That's what the Bible tells us. In his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, the great preacher Jonathan Edwards said the following: "You have offended him infinitely more than ever a stubborn rebel did his prince. And yet 'tis nothing but his hand that holds you from falling into the fire every moment. 'Tis to be ascribed to nothing else that you did not go to hell last night, that you was suffered to awake again in this world after you closed your eyes to sleep. And there's no other reason to be given why you have not dropped into hell since you rose this morning, but that God's hand has held you up. There's no other reason to be given why you haven't gone to hell since you have sat here in the house of God, provoking his pure eyes by your sinful, wicked manner of attending his solemn worship. Yeah, there is nothing else to be given as a reason why you don't this very moment drop down into hell. O sinner, consider the fearful danger you're in. 'Tis a great furnace of wrath, a wide and bottomless pit, full of the fire of wrath, that you are held over in the hand of that God, whose wrath is provoked and incensed as much against you as against many of the damned in hell. You hang by a slender thread, with the flames of divine wrath flashing about it, and ready every moment to singe it and burn it asunder. And yet you have no interest in any mediator, and nothing to lay hold of to save yourself, nothing to keep off the flames of wrath, nothing of your own, nothing that you ever have done, nothing that you can do to induce God to spare you one moment. When Jonathan Edwards preached that famous sermon, the congregation gripped onto the pillars, they gripped onto the pews, they were in fear of dropping down into hell that very moment. The fear of God, conviction of sin, came upon them. And you know, there's nothing keeping you out of hell right now but the mercy of God. You see, you and I deserve to be damned forever. But yet he is so merciful, oh so merciful, so gracious is our God, that he whose justice is offended has made his own dear son, the one who knew no sin, he made him a sin-atoning refuge for guilty sinners. Jonathan Edwards continues in his sermon, and he says, "And now you have an extraordinary opportunity, a day wherein Christ has flung the door of mercy wide open and stands in the door calling and crying aloud with a loud voice to poor sinners, a day wherein many are flocking to him and pressing into the kingdom of God. Many are daily coming from the east, west, north and south. Many that very lately were in the same miserable condition that you're in, they're now in a happy estate, with their hearts filled with love to him that hath loved them and washed them from their sins in his own blood, and are now rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. How awful it is to be left behind at such a day, to see so many others feasting while you are pining and perishing, to see so many rejoicing and singing for joy of heart, while you have cause to mourn for sorrow of heart and howl for vexation of spirit. How can you rest one more moment in such a condition? Dear sinner tonight, do you know your guilt before God? If you don't, I pray that God by his Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. But knowing your guilt tonight is not salvation. Salvation is fleeing for refuge to Christ. Thirdly, we see that our refuge is the Messiah. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is just the refuge we need. And these six cities of refuge beautifully portray our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we understand that no type of Christ is a perfect representation of him. But there are numerous details given about these cities of refuge, which appear to be specifically designed by God to point us to Christ, as he is presented in the gospel as the only refuge for guilty sinners. Firstly, we see that the cities of refuge were appointed by God himself. They were not devised and concocted by men. And even so, the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior appointed by God to be the refuge for our souls. We read in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be the just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. As these cities of refuge anticipated the need of criminals before any crime was committed, so the Lord God, anticipating our great need, appointed Christ to be our refuge from before the foundation of the world. We also see that these cities of refuge were given to provide shelter, safety, and life for people who justly deserve to die. And so it is that Christ was given by God so that we, who justly deserve to die, might never die, but have safety, security, and eternal life in Him. You see, as the avenger of blood caught the guilty man outside of the city of refuge, he was obliged to kill him. And if God Almighty finds you outside of Christ, He is obliged to send you in your sin to an everlasting death in hell. The Bible tells us the soul that sinneth, it shall die. If the guilty man fled into the city of refuge, so long as he was there, he was under the protection of God's law. And even so tonight, every guilty sinner who flees to Christ by faith is under the protection of God's holy law and justice. In Christ tonight, God's elect are totally free from all possibility of condemnation. The law of God cannot do us any harm. Indeed, the law of God being fulfilled for us by Christ is on our side. The justice of God being fully satisfied in Christ Jesus demands our eternal salvation. You see, Christ has borne all the furious fullness of God's wrath to the full extremity of the law's justice. There's nothing left to be borne by His people. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The hymn writer puts it like this: payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. We also see that these cities of refuge were easily seen. They were built on hills or mountains so that they might be readily kept in sight by those fleeing for their lives. And here again is a picture of Christ in the gospel. Our glorious Saviour sits upon God's holy hill of Zion. He is lifted up to draw all men unto Himself. And every time the gospel is faithfully preached, Christ our refuge is held up before the eyes of sinful men. Before your very eyes, Christ Jesus have been evidently set forth, Paul says in Galatians chapter 3. You know, every time a preacher lifts up Christ before his congregation, he is like a city that is set upon a hill. We also see that the road to the cities of refuge was clearly marked. As we spoke of earlier, there were signs posted everywhere pointing to the cities which read refuge. And in the gospel, God has so plainly declared the way of salvation in His dear Son that wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The gospel message is plain and simple that even a child can understand it. It's clearly set forth: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The cities of refuge were located in the midst of the land so they could be easily reached. The road was kept clean and smooth and every obstacle was removed. What's the significance of that, you might ask? Well, the way to Christ is short and easy. There were many obstacles that lay in the way between guilty sinners and the place of safety, but Christ has removed them all. You see, the law must be fulfilled. Christ did that by His obedient life. Justice must be satisfied. Christ did that. Sin must be removed. Christ did that. Satan must be conquered and bound. Christ did that. Man could not do that on his own. Christ has done it all on behalf of sinners. We also see that these cities of refuge were, by the command of God, open to both Jew and Gentile. We read there in verse 9 that these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. And our Lord Jesus Christ is a refuge for sinners out of every nation, every tribe, every religion, every tongue under the sun. You know, we think sometimes that the gospel is only for the Protestant people, or it's not for the... We've seen all these refugees coming in, the Muslims, and, you know, they need Christ as much as we do. Christ died for His people out of every tongue, every nation. And we shouldn't just despise these people. We should be reaching out to them, even getting literature in their own tongue. There's plenty of gospel tracts in Russian, Latvian, Lithuanian, all these other languages. We should be reaching out to them. Christ died for people of every tongue, every tribe, every nation. We also see that these cities of refuge were, they were only provided for men who were guilty of manslaughter. But Christ is a refuge for sinners guilty of every sin. We read in 1 Corinthians 6, in the verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." This shows us that none are too bad that they cannot be saved. Whatever sin you are guilty of tonight, the precious blood of Christ can cleanse you from it. We also see that the safety of those criminals who fled to the cities of refuge was completely wrapped up in the life and death of God's high priest. The cities of refuge were all an inheritance of the Levites, who were the priestly tribe. Because there's no hope of mercy from God but by God's appointed high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the high priest died, the guilty man went free. When the Lord Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he obtained eternal redemption for God's elect and bought our everlasting freedom by his precious blood. We also see that so long as the high priest was living, no harm could befall those guilty criminals who dwelt in the cities of refuge. Excuse me. And though Christ died, he lives forever at God's right hand as a high priest over the house of God. All is safe tonight, child of God, because our great high priest lives forever. We read in Hebrews 7 and 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." We also see that only those cities appointed by God were cities of refuge. There's only those six cities of refuge. There's no point fleeing to another city. There's only the cities of refuge appointed by God. And there's no refuge for sinners tonight outside of Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 verse 12. Not church tonight, but Christ. Not feelings tonight, but Christ. Not religion, not baptism, not good works, but Christ and Christ alone. The only refuge for our souls is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see that the manslayer had to be within the city to be safe. And this might be the most important part of my message tonight for some of you here in Kilkeel. You know, knowing all about the city was of no benefit to the guilty. A man might know all about the history of the city. He might know all about the inhabitants of the city. He might be able to recite all the laws of the city. But if the avenger of blood caught him outside of the city, he was a dead man. It is not enough for him to admire the city, to talk about the beauty and wonders of it, or even to defend the city. He had to be inside the city. And my friend tonight, if you would be saved, you must be in Christ. You may have sat in this church for years under the faithful ministry of the word. You might be able to stand in this pulpit tonight and preach the gospel better than I can. But to know about Christ, to admire Christ, or even to defend the name and doctrine of Christ, is nothing. You must be in Christ tonight. Salvation is in Christ. Everything is in Christ. In closing tonight, let me just look at the names of these six cities and draw a few thoughts from them. The first one was Kadesh, which means holy. And Christ is the Holy One, both as God and as man. And being the Holy God-man, he's abundantly qualified to be our mediator, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Shechem means the shoulder. And Christ carried the enormous load of our sin in his own body upon the cursed tree and put it away. The government of the world in general and of his church, he lays on his shoulder. In conversion, he finds his lost sheep and lays it upon his shoulder and carries it home. Hebron means fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have access to and fellowship with the eternal God. Bezer means a fortified place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We read in Proverbs 18. And Christ is the defense and fortress of his people tonight. The city Ramoth means exalted. And Christ is our exalted Savior. For God hath highly exalted him. Christ is the one by whom we have been exalted from our low estate to sit among princes and to inherit the throne of glory. The final one is Golan, which means revealed or manifested. And Christ is God manifested in the flesh. He is the one revealed to us, to whom we are called and by whom we are saved. It is my prayer that God, by his Holy Spirit tonight, will open your eyes to the condition you're in. If you're outside of Christ tonight, I pray that you'll flee to him. Christ says in his word, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Flee away to Christ, confess your sin, repent of it, and trust in him alone for your soul's salvation. You know, time is short. Do not hesitate or wait, lest the avenger of blood would find you outside of your refuge and claim your life. There's an interesting story found in the book of 2 Samuel. In chapter 2 of that book, we read of a man named Abner, who had been Saul's commander-in-chief. He is pursued by a man named Asahel. Abner tries to reason with Asahel, but Asahel continues to pursue Abner, and Abner is carrying a spear, and apparently Asahel runs into the spear and is killed. And later we find Abner at the gates of the city of Hebron. Remember, Hebron is one of these six cities of refuge. And there he is met by Joab, who is David's commander-in-chief. Joab is the older brother of Asahel. And Joab catches Abner at the gates of the city of refuge, and he kills him to avenge the death of Asahel. And what is most striking are the comments made by King David as he mourned the death of Abner. King David said, Abner, you died like a fool. You were right there at the gates of refuge. All you had to do was walk right in. Nobody had him tied up. You could have been saved, but you died like a fool. Friend, I pray that does not happen to you tonight. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come now and make Christ your refuge. I pray that you may be drawn to him this very night. In Christ's name, amen.